Okay, let's open up in prayer before I fall down. Father, I am just so in awe of you. Lord, even this morning when I opened up my Mother's Day card, in it said, you know, thank you for being such a wonderful wife, but thank you for being the heart of our home. And God, that's what mothers are. We're the hearts of the home. And God, we want to reflect your heart. And Lord, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. God, that you would change us from the inside out. God, use your word and may it go out in power. Thank you, God, that you promise that your word will not return void. Father, use this broken, imperfect mom to share your perfect love to these people. We praise you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I need to raise this because I'm... Okay, there we go. Okay, when I was being raised, my mom was the one that took us to church, and my dad never went. So we were one of those statistics that Pastor Sean talked about last week. At 13, I accepted Christ. I went forward at an altar call at a summer camp. That's how powerful summer camps are. They're very influential in our lives. But at 16, my parents divorced, and the godly influence that was in my home was gone. And so at that point, I kind of wandered away from God. And I wandered, and I wandered, and I wandered. And at 23, I got married, and at 28 and 31, I had my sons. I moved to Paso Robles when my youngest was 3 months old, my oldest was 3 years old. Now, this is still a broken person because even though I had accepted Christ at 13, I really did not begin following him and making him the Lord of my life. I understood him to be my Savior, but my Lord was a totally different story. So have you ever heard the saying, if mama ain't happy? All right, you've heard that. Yeah, well, that was kind of like my home. If mama wasn't happy, no one in my home was happy. What we tend to call that is I was a thermometer mom. Thermometer mom. So a thermometer, the Greek word for thermometer is thermos means hot, glowing, boiling. That was pretty much me. I still had a lot of anger and resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness towards my parents through the brokenness in their lives and in our home. So naturally what I did is I carried it into my own home, and now I'm a mom. Now what do you do with that? So a thermometer, though, it says, a thermometer actually, it just measures the temperature, doesn't do anything else. In fact, it says it reflects the temperature of the environment. It simply reacts to what's happening around it. And you know, for most of my life, that's what I did. I just reacted to the things that were going on in my life. And I saw that my life was out of control. My home, instead of being a sanctuary, was really an asylum. Seriously, it was an asylum. you know, you may be a thermometer if you are a screamer, lecturer, argumentative, critical, prideful, easily angered, selfish, overextended in your commitments. Every single one of those things, that would have defined my life before I completely turned my life over to Christ. Let me give you a few little pictures to kind of understand what that was like. My son, my oldest one, was 3 years old, and I don't know, we were in some kind of match and everything, and I was wanting him to pick up his toys, and I'm going, Joseph, pick up your toys, because I thought maybe he didn't hear me. So I kept saying it louder and louder, Joseph, pick up your toys, and he wouldn't pick up his toys. I thought, oh my goodness, my son's got a hearing problem. So I thought, I better take him to the doctor. So I took him to the doctor, and I was going to have an audiogram and all this kind of stuff, and I was telling the doctor about it and everything. He goes, you know, before we do all those expensive tests and everything, let's try something. All right, why not? So he goes, you stand right here, and Joseph, you come over here. Now turn your back to me. And he goes, Joseph, can you hear me? Yeah. Oh! Selective hearing. My screaming was not doing a thing, but I thought it was. That's how I was raised. Another thing, you know, I presented a persona of having it all together. I was always smiling, always happy, just the perfect little mom. But in my home, like I said, it was an asylum. So my kids would be acting up. They're kids. They act up, right? So kids are acting up and everything, and I'm trying to kind of get control, and all of a sudden, ring! Oh, excuse me, just a minute. This is before cell phones, back in the day. I go to pick up the phone, and I'm screaming. Yelling, get over here, get right here. Hello? Anybody ever held that before? Hi. Oh, you want me to teach? Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll do it. No problem. Sure. All right. See you later. Bye. Click. Get over here right now. That was me. That was my life. I was easily angered, as you could tell already. One time, my kids, we were driving down Golden Hill or Union Road, and both of the boys, you know, boys, they fight. They do that. So they're in the back, and they're, he touched me, he breathed on me, and they're going back and forth, and I was like up to here with the, he touched me, he breathed on me, that kind of stuff. And so I kind of turned around while I'm driving, and I went to go, stop that. And as I went, stop that, I went flying over the road and into the embankment and everything. Boom, boom, boom. Well, they stopped fighting. Woo! I didn't know that's what it took to have that happen, but it did. Of course, it shook them to the bone. In fact, I remember Patrick, he went to school. I think he's probably in first or second grade. And they had a little project that they had to write. And it said, he brought it home and he said, I thank God that we didn't get killed when my mom had an accident. I'm like, oh my word, now everybody knows. I was involved in so many activities and everything was all about me. You know, I was doing a clothing business and did some other things, and I needed those strokes because I was still a broken person. My value was on what people thought of me. And so I was so overly committed. In fact, if you were to look at my calendar, I look at my calendar even now because I keep them. I look back and I think, how in the world did I live that life? I see a lot of women shaking their heads. It was crazy. It was crazy. And so one day my husband comes to me and he says, you know what, we need to sit down and have a talk. And so in my bedroom, my husband and my boys said, Mom, we know you're really busy and everything, and you've given your life to a lot of other people, but we want to see you too. It just broke my heart. But you know what? That was the thing that I needed to hear. I needed that wake-up call. Something needed to change in my life. Desperately needed to change. So as God was moving through these different situations, speaking to me through my children, through my husband, I realized that I didn't have it all together, and I was tired of trying to keep it all together. God says, you know, God doesn't want us to be thermometer moms where we're screaming, lecturing, we're argumentative, all these things in our life that do not really represent him very well. And I can't change myself. You can't change yourself. We need someone bigger and more powerful to do that. So God calls us to be a thermostat. A thermostat, it's thermos, again, means hot, boiling. But statos in the Greek means standing, stationary. So when you think about a thermostat, guys, you probably relate to this maybe more. I learned a lot about thermometers and thermostats. But a thermostat, it gauges the temperature, but then it keeps it at the temperature that you desire. And you know, as moms, that's kind of our role, is to set the thermostat at an even place where when our husbands come home from work, they're like, I'm so glad to be home. Well, my husband, I love him, and he loved me, and he has so much grace for me, but I am sure there were a lot of times where it's like, oh boy, here we go again, you know? Or the kids are like, oh, here goes mom again. So God's calling us to be a thermostat. And thermostat regulates the environment. It sets the desired temperature of the room and actively works to maintain it within a given range. It's always monitoring the environment and decides what to do to correct the situation. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. You know, you may be a thermostat if you're calm, a good listener, not argumentative, not easily angered, encouraging, humble. You think the best of others and seek God's will and commitments. You know, I wanted to be that woman, but I did need that help. So how do we go from being thermometers, who are reactors, to thermostats, who are regulators? Well, like I said, I had to come to the end of myself. I was tired of trying to keep that facade up for the outside world, thinking that I've got it all together. Well, inside my home, I was like a nuclear reactor, just ready to go off at any moment. So I needed the regulator, the one who was going to be able to change me from the inside out and eventually change my home. You know, like I said, I was going to church. I was involved in Sunday school teaching and did a lot of things for God. But the Bible talks about we can have a form of godliness and deny his power. We can be doing all these good things for God, but not experiencing the power of God in our lives to be able to change us. And that's what my life was like. It was actually religion instead of a relationship with Christ. So, what do you do now once you've come to that place? You're at the end of your rope. You're thinking something's got to change. What am I going to do? So the first thing that we need to do is to begin. And you can take out your notes. Begin or restart a relationship with God through Jesus. You know, in our bulletins, I put a little bookmark thing. It was called The Romans Road. You know, every single one of us, the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There's not one of us that has not sinned. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ. And God, you know, even this song, you know, I never want to forget the wonder of his mercy. Because God, in his love for mankind, saw our brokenness and our hurt and our pain. And he said, I want to do something about it, and I plan to do that from long ago. He said that he demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, before we could do any good or bad, Christ died for us. Christ died in my place. Christ died in your place so that you could live the kind of life that you've always wanted to live, that you were created to live with Christ living in you. The Bible says that when we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. It's with your heart that you believe and are justified, meaning not guilty. How can that be? But that's what God does in his wonderful grace and mercy. He says, daughter, you have trusted my son's righteousness. Son, you have trusted my son's righteousness. Now you have been clothed with his righteousness instead of a righteousness of your own. And I don't see you with all your yucky stuff and your sin and all that. He goes, I see my son. I see my son now when I look at you. And I love him and I love you. And God's promise is that everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. That's awesome. And you know, this morning there may be people that have been attending church like I was for years. Maybe a few months. Maybe you're just in the seeking God right now. And God's maybe just starting to tug on your heart. In fact, your heart might be beating a little faster right now. And the temperature in your body might even be rising. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. And he's saying, come. I know you're tired. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and we thank you, God, for Jesus. We thank you, God, that the life we have longed to live, Jesus lived it here on earth perfectly. And as the Son of God, only he was able to go to the cross, take our sin, nail it to the cross, be dead and buried, and 3 days later rise from the grave, conquer death, fulfilling the punishment and the penalty of sin that we so rightly deserved. Father, I pray right now, Lord, if there's anyone in this room that has not come to that point to the end of their lives. Father, would you speak to their hearts right now and say, there's a way. I love you. Jesus, my son, is the way, the life, and the truth. And I will give you life that is so abundant and so rich and so full and joyful. You don't have to do this on your own anymore. And the Bible just says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was raised to life, you will be given the gift of eternal life. And when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Father, I pray right now, the Lord, that maybe even right now you're moving in the hearts of people. And Father, you're coming, bringing them to that place of need, and you're ready to fulfill that need. Pray that you would do that right now. And Lord, maybe it's just under their breath, they're saying, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And one day they'll be shouting it from the rooftops. Lord, as I've come to do, Lord God, that Jesus is Lord. So we praise you, Father. And I pray that if there are people that are still just checking you out, Lord, would you continue to pursue them? Because it's your love that draws us to you. So I thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so, you know, the Bible says that when you've come to a point of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he says, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It's like you have been born again, been given a brand new life. It's like a complete do-over. Kim, that woman that was that thermometer in the home and screaming, yelling, lecturing, argumentative, that doesn't change all at one time, I have to tell you, but it's a process. And that's the cool thing, because I think if God just went, boom, you're perfect, Dora, I think Dora would stop needing Jesus. What do you think? Because I know I would. I'd stop needing Jesus and stop depending on him. But God in his mercy says, I will sanctify you little by little. Even as the children of Israel went into the promised land, he says, I will deliver you little by little. Because he knew when we stop depending on him, our life stops changing. So now what do I do? I've been born again. I'm a brand new creation. The second thing that we need to be starting to do is to read his word. You know, it's an instruction manual. You know, if God made you a brand new creation, he's not going to say, okay, go ahead, do it on your own. No, he gave us his word to be able to change us and transform us, let us know truth. Man, when I'm reading the Bible, there's things that I am not even aware of myself. And as I start reading, it was like, whoa, okay, that's something that maybe God's putting a little pressure point on. That's something that I need to begin to change in my life. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is active, alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. When no one else knows what's going on in your heart, guess who does? God. Yeah, and you know what? He doesn't go, oh, Kim, oh, you disgust me. Not at all. He goes, oh, daughter, I know that this has been an issue in your life, and I want to help you. I want to make it new. I want to change you from the inside out. In fact, Deuteronomy says that God's word is not just idle words. They are your life. They are your life. And, you know, I began to experience that as I started reading the word. And, you know, it doesn't happen all at one time, the same as my journey. I would hit and miss days, and man, there's times when I would struggle. And I know that we have a spiritual enemy that does not want us to get into the Word. And so he will use, ring, the phone's ringing. I just could sit down and have my quiet time, read the Bible, all of a sudden, ring, the phone rings. Or my dog. I love my dog, but my dog comes up to me. He's jumping on me. Hi, Mommy. Hi, Mommy. What you doing, Mommy? I'm like, ah! It's like, you know what? We are going to have distractions. We are going to have things that are going to keep us from being in God's Word every day. So we need to be intentional. Every day we need to be intentional about being in God's Word, because that's truly what's transformed my life. Another thing that we need to do is find a time. And these are some of those intentional things. Find a time that's best for you. You know, when I first started reading the Word, I do it at night after a long day. And I'd sit in my nice rocking chair and get all comfy. And I'd get my Bible and I'd start rocking. It's about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden, I'm out. I wake up an hour later. I'm like, what the heck? I can't believe this. How long was I sleeping, God? Ah, it's so frustrating. So, you know, I know me. So I'm not really a morning person, but I'm most alert in the morning. And so I decided that I need to have my quiet time in the morning before I do anything else. And I needed to find a place where I would walk by it, and it was like God was saying, hello, I'm over here. Come on, join me. And so I put the Word down on my little table in my little kitchen nook and everything. And then I made these little cards that says, from the Bible, it says, do not neglect the Word. I needed all kinds of reminders to just keep me going back to the Word because it is so important. It is life. It is our life. And it has the ability to change us from being thermometers to thermostats in our home. Another thing that I started doing was journaling. And here at our church, we do the life journal. And we go through the Bible or the Old Testament once a year and the New Testament twice a year. And I'm telling you, when I started journaling, that's when my life really started changing. Because I wasn't just hearing the Word, I was beginning to allow it to apply it to myself. I would make an observation about a scripture maybe that I read, and then I'd say, Lord, how can I apply this to my life? And then I'd just write a little prayer, God, help me. Help me to apply this to my life. And he did. And it's amazing when you're in the Word, because it is alive and active, you start reading and it's like, boy, there's verses that'll just jump right out at you. It's like, oh, how do you know that? He's God, right? So the second thing that we need to do is practice what we learn. It's like reading it is great, but when we start applying it to our life, that's when life change begins to happen. In fact, James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. And when we begin to do what God's Word says, we start seeing the atmosphere of our home change. We start being regulators instead of reactors in our home. You know, as a thermometer mom, I was slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to get angry. Like I said, instead of my home being a sanctuary, it was an asylum. But I was reading the Word one day, James 1:19. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I was like, oh, that's for me, God. That's for me. And I began to put that Word into practice. And I'd like to say that it happened overnight, that I did it one time and everything changed. But you know, there was a lot of stuff still inside Kim. And so it took about a year for that to change in my home. And I'm telling you, when we begin to put God's Word into practice, we need to keep at it. To say, I tried it, didn't work. Oh, well, God must be a liar. No, God is not a liar. He can only speak the truth. So I continued to take that Word and put it into practice. In fact, I even gave my family permission saying, look, this is something that I'm working on and I need your help. So I allowed my family to be accountability partners. It's very humbling when you're asking your children and your family to help you change. But you want it so badly because you want your home to change. And so there were times when I would blow it and you're going to blow it. I'm telling you right now, you're going to blow it. But you keep going and you keep trying. And so, you know, I'd say, Pat, Joe, if I, you know, blow it in this, let me know. And so they would. Amazing, huh? They would let me know and I would ask for forgiveness. And, you know, I always told them their response needs to be not, oh, it's okay, Mom, because it's really not okay. Instead, I asked them to say, I forgive you. And knowing that I was going to probably do it again until I got this thing right, but they kept forgiving me because that required a response from them too. And I'm telling you, within a year, the screaming, it stopped. I don't even remember when it happened, but it did. And the argumentative spirit, my poor husband, we'd be going back and forth, screaming back and forth, rah, 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 rah. And he'd be like, quiet! I know it was driving him crazy. But after a while, he never had to even say that. It's like, it was quiet. Because I was now a thermostat instead of a thermometer. Let's see. Okay, so one of the things that God also worked on me, and this was a huge one for me because I was raised in a home that didn't have a lot of encouragement. And so I developed a critical spirit where people were like under my microscope. And I judged them really severely. And I probably judged myself even more so. But at that time, I started reading a parallel Bible. And it had NIV on one side and the Message on the other side. And I love the Message because sometimes, boy, it's like right there. So Matthew 7, 1 through 5 says, don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Killer. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? Yikes. Is this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again? Playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part? Wipe that ugly sneer off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. You know what? I needed to hear that. And it sounds a little bit harsh, but I think I needed that wake-up call. I needed that family meeting. And this was kind of like my meeting with God. God needed to show me how damaging that critical spirit was. So here's the really cool thing is like when God convicts you and brings something into your heart that he says this is something that's been causing an issue in your life and it needs to change, but it's his instruction manual, right? So he gives us a remedy. He even gives us his word to be able to put into practice to show us how we're supposed to live. So Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. And you know, everything starts in our minds. Before we even speak a word, we've already thought it. Let me give you an example. I was at Long's a few years back, and I'm standing in the pharmacy line forever, and there's this lady that I noticed was a neighbor of my mom's, and she's standing behind me, and she was a Christian, actually, too. Anyway, she was standing behind me, and we're waiting in line, and all of a sudden I heard her say, my gosh, she's gained a lot of weight. Oh, my goodness, am I reading this woman's mind? Or did she just say that out loud? Yike. It was like, this is scary, because what we think about will eventually come out of our mouth. Now, this is the really scary thing. Because after I went to Long's, I went next door to Albertson's, and I'm standing in line there, and this lady's in front of me, and she has a grocery cart, and I'm wanting to load my groceries on the little conveyor belt thing and everything, and she wasn't pushing her cart forward. So I kind of just tapped her cart a little bit, not meanly, not angrily. I'm becoming a thermostat. So I just kind of tapped it, and all of a sudden, it's like I wasn't even there, but she said, my gosh, she's pushy. I was like, this is weird. It was like people, what they were thinking, they were saying, but they didn't even realize they were saying it. Have you ever done that? Yeah. Scary. So Philippians 4:8 was like my filter. Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, I need to be thinking about those things because I know what's inside of my heart, what's inside of my mind is going to come out. In fact, Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, even my words, if I'm speaking to another person, there is usually people within earshot. And everyone that hears those words is being affected by those words. So I need to be careful, not just what I think about, but even what I speak. I need to be encouraging. I need to be building people, not tearing them down. And God was doing that. I mean, to take a critical, argumentative woman and to change her into someone that speaks life and truth and builds people up, that is only God. That is not Kim. That's him. I cannot do that on my own. The fourth thing that we need to do is pray regularly for our family, for ourselves. You know, there's nothing that moves heaven and earth like a mother's prayer for their family. And even the guys yesterday that were sharing some of the things about their moms and their grandmothers at the mother's breakfast, it was so encouraging because they remember their moms praying. And Michael, I love the story of your grandmother. I mean, she was a prayer warrior, where she would be at her grandchildren's bed. It's not just moms, it's grandmothers, it's aunts, it's uncles. It's every single one of us have the power to influence the next generation. And so his grandma putting them to bed and everything, and she's praying at the foot of their bed for her grandchildren. What a beautiful picture. That's being a thermostat and not a thermometer. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. When you've come into a relationship with Christ, you are righteous. And because you're righteous, that means your prayers are powerful and effective. That when you enter into God's throne room and you stand in the gap for your children, for your family, for your coworkers, for your friends, heaven is moving. And you know, we may not always see it right away, but it does. You know, there was a situation that one of my sons was in a few years ago. And I'm telling you, like a mama bear, I want to run to the rescue. And God was saying, no, wait, and pray. And I prayed, and I prayed. And you know, as I was struggling with this particular issue, and I wanted to see good come out of this, and I wanted my son to be vindicated, I prayed, and I read the word. And everywhere that the Psalms or a word was for this particular situation, I'd write Pat, and I put the date down there. And for a year, I kept praying for him, for me, for this situation. And within, I think it was 7 or 8 months, that thing that only God could do took place, and he was vindicated in a way that I would have never thought would have happened. That's God. That's our God. He says, don't give up. Keep praying. I am moving heaven and earth. You may not see it right now, but heaven is moving and earth will move. Don't give up. Keep praying. Stormy Omardian says on the cover of her book, The Power of a Praying Parent, being a perfect parent doesn't matter. Being a praying parent does. Every single one of us that have come into a relationship with Jesus Christ have the power at our disposal through God and his son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to be praying on behalf of our families, our friends, our neighborhoods, our coworkers. You know, this message is a Mother's Day message, but this is for guys. It's for students. It's for every single one of us. You know, you may have a strained relationship even right now. You know, Mother's Day can be a great day, but can also be a really hard day. You know, you may be estranged from, you know, a child, or maybe there's a rift in a relationship right now. And God is able to take that relationship, to take that situation and change it and make something so amazing out of it. You know, and maybe as you're praying, you know, you need patience, but they need strength. You need hope, and they need healing. It's bringing all those things before God, laying them down at his feet, and trusting him with the results. You know, I want to encourage you, too, that, you know, we weren't meant to be lone rangers. As a Christian family, God calls us to be together and to be praying for each other. Allow others to come into our mess, to be real and transparent and honest with each other and say, I need help. My child is out of control. My son has this illness. I'm struggling with anger and unforgiveness. Will you pray for me? As we allow others to pray for us, we're encouraged, and other people are encouraged. You know, we need to allow the church to pray for us. You know, the first Saturday of every month, our elders meet in the church office faithfully. And God says that we're to call the elders of the church and to be asking them for prayer. What a great opportunity that these men are making themselves available, that we would that they would pray over our situations. We just need to be vulnerable and transparent and show that we need help. Get into a small group or a mentoring relationship and begin praying for each other's families. I tell you, there's nothing more encouraging to know that I'm not the only one going through the thing I'm going through. You too? Misery loves company. It's really crazy. But when we're sharing each other's burdens, somehow we are encouraged. And when we pray together and ask God to come into the realm of that hurt and that pain, he does the miraculous. And more times often than not, he begins to do it in us before he does it in our situation. Okay, so I just want to encourage you. You know, I am not the perfect mom. I didn't start out that way, and I'm still not the perfect mom. And guess what? Neither are you. But you know what? Even in our relationships and the things that we're going through, you know, a lot of times you can say, oh, it's too late for me. I've blown it. You know, my kids are 40 and 50 years old now. It's too late. Let me tell you, my dad, been praying for him for 20 years. He was 82 years old, and he accepted Christ. Now, if God can get a hold of a man that's 82 years old, and change him from a sinner to a saint, he can certainly move heaven and earth to change your situation. Amen. So, God is at work up to this very day, and he alone is the only one that can change anyone or anything. And all he's calling us to do is be those thermostats, those regulators in our home, making our homes sanctuaries where our families want to be there instead of asylums where they're trying to escape. So also what I wanted to let you know is the gospel is the power of God to save. And inside your bulletin, those Romans Road little bookmark things, you know what? You may be thinking, even as you're listening to this message this morning, that, you know, I know a mom or I know a dad or I know a coworker that really needs Jesus. They need a change in their life. And Jesus is the change. And you know what? You have the cure. And so those little bookmarks, they're so easy. I mean, it's like you don't even have to do anything. You could just show that to them. You know, I love you. I'm concerned about you. Why don't you look this over? If you have any questions, come to me. Ask. Because God is a God of change and redemption and reconciliation. And I just praise him. I thank him for what he's done in my life, for what he continues to do in my life to change me from the inside out. And he wants to do that for every single person here. So let's close in prayer. Is that okay? All right. Father, I just praise you, and I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you how it transforms us. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us the power and the desire to change. Lord, I pray that even this morning, people have been changed by you. Not by Kim, not even by my words, but by you and your word. So Lord, we praise you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Give Kim a round of applause, yeah. Kim, thank you for that word of encouragement. It was a great word of encouragement. And thank you for your vulnerability. That's not an easy thing to do. And I pray that all of you, not just the moms, but everybody, is encouraged today by what we just heard. God can change a life. And I have to be honest, I'm glad I didn't know the old Kim. I'm glad I know this Kim. This is a good thing.